We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report for November 25th, 2009. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll have cash grain analysis with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons in Clymers, Indiana. In agricultural news, farm state senators are pushing for a supplementary disaster assistance payment. We'll have this and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason will preview next week's Ag Masters Conference at the University of Illinois. It's all on the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from the Westchester Group, specializing in land auctions for farmland, timberland, and recreational land. More information on upcoming auctions is available online at westchester-auctions.com.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. December wheat, 546.5, up 17. March, 563, up 17 and a quarter. CME Group wheat, the December variety settlement there, 550 and a quarter, up 17 and a quarter. March, 571.5, up 18. December corn, 392, up 16. March, 408, up 16. May, 418.5, up 16.5. July, 427 and a quarter, up 16 and three quarters. January beans, 1054.5, up 8.5. March, 1060.75, up 8.75. May, 1063.75, up 9.5. July, 1069, up 10.5. August, 1067, up 10.75. December soybean meal, 318, up 260. January, 309.30, down 30. December soybean oil, 4057, up 87. January, 4099, up 88. December live cattle, 8367.5, up 27.5. February, 8575, up 25. January feeders, 9330, up 7.5. March, 9427.5, down 2.5. December lean hogs, 5942.5, and they were up 80 on the day. And those are Wednesday's settlements from Kansas City and Chicago.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Taking a look at meteorologist Ed Kieser's highlights, he says tonight across the two states in the north, cloudy with rain changing to wet snow. In central and southern sections, cloudy with scattered rain showers changing to snow showers in some areas. Lows ranging from 32 in northwestern Illinois to 37 in eastern Indiana. Tomorrow in western Illinois, mostly cloudy with a few flurries during the morning, then becoming partly sunny. Elsewhere in the north, cloudy with some snow. Elsewhere in central and southern sections, cloudy with scattered showers of wet snow and rain, and highs ranging from 36 in northwestern Illinois to 44 in the far south. Ed's extended highlights look like this. He says dry and milder weather will occur on Friday and Saturday. Scattered showers are possible on Sunday. But for early next week, the computer weather forecast models are still in disagreement. The American GFS model shows a storm system moving from the Tennessee Valley into the eastern Midwest. If this verifies, a soaking rain is likely for most of Illinois and Indiana on Monday and Tuesday. It should be noted, however, that other models don't indicate heavy rainfall.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Notice the U.S. dollar took quite a dive, lowest level for the move that it's been on this year.
Yeah, that was a real statement. And, of course, some of that started last night. There was definitely stories today that Russia is selling U.S. dollars and buying Canadian dollars. There were stories that Sri Lanka bought 10 tons of gold from the International Monetary Fund. And at the same time, commodity funds rolled up their sleeves and bought over 4,000 contracts of wheat, 13,000 contracts of corn, and 3,000 contracts of soybeans.
So we continue with the volatility that we saw that started on Monday. How much trust do we put into the markets for this week for price discovery?
Yeah. Well, it is interesting to note that some people are continuing to talk about a bubble, whether it's a big bubble or a little bubble or whatever, but it basically means that prices are inflated. One analyst mentioned this morning that if you use today's fundamentals in corn for 2007, the price of corn would be $3.10 to $3.25 a bushel. So we do have a little bit of fluff in the corn market. We do know that wheat prices around the world are cheaper than U.S. values, but still commodity funds went in and bought 4,000 contracts of wheat. The corn market is during harvest here, and basically there doesn't seem to be any urgency in buying more acres next year, but it's the relationship between converting corn into ethanol and energy that helped push that market to close 16 cents higher. The general feeling is that the market is overbought, but the market continues to be extremely strong. We don't see anything of the typical deal from, let's say, the commodity exchanges by raising the margin requirements on gold, for example. So the market continues to be very excited every time the dollar makes new lows.
Well, one must wonder, I suppose, when traders will fully turn their attention to the fundamentals of corn that include what is going to be a very big carryover and begin to say, well, we need to see some demand. And as you were talking about this morning, the demand in livestock, not so good. The demand for exports, we couldn't even say that. It's just plain lousy. The only leg that's really holding up the propping up the demand at all in corn right now is ethanol.
Right. It looks like some of the, the Informer group this morning basically talks about increased ethanol demand, and of course that's subject to the EPA and the Obama administration increasing the blend on ethanol in the fuel blends, but they're basically talking exports being 125 million less and feed usage at least 50 million less, and that doesn't encourage a lot of extra price push in corn. But we have to say we have to respect both sides of the equation, like a big teeter-totter. We have to respect the commodity funds and the weakness in the gold, strength in the gold and silver, and the weakness in the U.S. dollar is a very significant item.
Well, let's put Paul Cooley on the spot and ask him, the bubble that you talked about, is it going to get bigger or is it going to start to deflate over time?
Yeah, a lot of it depends on the Federal Reserve and government policy. Government policy hinges a lot on whether or not we have better employment. What historically we'll see, I think, in time, will stop increasing the money supply and some of the easy money at the discount windows and things like that, and let the interest rates assume their supply-demand. Right now, the marketplace, I think, is telling us, particularly with this runaway gold market, that we have a lot more on the upside in the gold market, and it will help drag corn and soybeans for a while.
Between corn and soybeans, which in your mind has the better chance for holding its value?
My general impression is on the valuation of the soybean market. I think the soybeans have a tendency to be strong for the next 30 days, and then we'll see some weakness. The big factor in the soybean market is we do see a very large acreage in South America, and that's probably the bearish item.
We'll be moving into the reports again in a week or so, a couple of weeks, I guess, and so we'll be starting to talk about those again next week. Do you think NASS has a good handle on the biologicals, at least the crop size?
Our indications are that we are looking at a bigger Iowa corn crop, and not as small as what they indicated. I'm not too sure that they didn't underestimate the Illinois corn crop as well. So the answer is I think they are leaning in the right direction in soybeans, and I think that they wouldn't be a bit surprised to see the corn crop up, conservatively 50 to 100 million bushels.
There's about 6% of the soybean crop as of Monday that was still out in the field. Does that get harvested?
Oh, sure. There's no problem with that. We've made some big progress in the upper Midwest, and the South bean crop is going to be harvested in time. I don't think there's a problem with that. And as I've mentioned in the past on Commodity Week, the corn crop will get harvested as well when we take and call some of our friends in North Dakota. The bottom line is that the farmer is going to harvest that corn as fast as the dryers can get it dried. Historically, they used to just let it freeze dry in the wintertime, but they've learned that there is some crop loss. Those farmers have geared up to some extent. With the new modern railroads, they'll move that corn to dryers, and also with semi-trucks move it into drying capacity. The farmer does have drying bins, and, of course, you fill a bin up and dry it down, and it does take a little extra time. But they basically know how to handle that kind of a crop.
Thank you, Paul.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In agricultural news, senators and some farm groups say a disaster payment is needed because the new permanent disaster fund created in the 2008 Farm Bill will not pay farmers until at least a year from now for disasters that hit this year's crops. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Blanche Lincoln, along with Senators Thad Cochran and Roger Whitaker, have introduced a bill to pay farmers up to $1.3 billion in direct payments for this fall's rain and other weather-related disasters in counties declared primary disaster areas by USDA, rather than wait until farmers may be paid under the SURE program, which will not occur until at least the fall of 2010. Farmers who receive a disaster payment under the bill will not receive a SURE payment. USDA's Economic Research Center says farm income is expected to fall 34.5% or $30 billion in 2009. In a report released yesterday, ERS estimated farm income for 2009 at $57 billion, below the 10-year average farm income of $63.6 billion, but still the eighth largest on record. ERS also projects a 28.4% drop in net cash income from 2008's levels of $69.8 billion. Total expenses are also expected to decline, the first drop since 2002. This year, the ERS forecasts an $11.9 billion drop in expenses, which is still 4% higher than 2007 levels. The World Bank will start a trust fund to boost agriculture in poor countries with an initial $1.5 billion. More than 1 billion people are now chronically hungry as food prices have been slow to come down from record highs hit last year. The new fund will complement the World Bank's existing $2 billion fund to respond to the global food crisis, which has dispersed about $850 million so far, as well as $6 billion it annually lends to agricultural projects. Deere & Company today reports a $223 million loss for the fourth quarter on a 28% decline in sales of farm and construction equipment. Deere says it expects its equipment sales to drop another 1% next year, including a 10% slide in the first quarter. The company forecasts a $900 million profit next year. The company lost 53 cents a share in the 3 months ending October 31st, in contrast to a profit of $345 million, or 81 cents a share a year earlier. Worldwide revenue dropped to $5.3 billion, down from $7.4 billion a year ago. Sales of farm and construction equipment dropped 26% in the U.S. and Canada, and 35% in the rest of the world. Millions of dollars worth of grain is clogging up at ports in the Pacific Northwest, slowing exports as rains slow the process of moving cargoes from rail cars to ocean-going vessels. Industry sources say further loading delays could force some shipments to other ports, but added that the situation is not severe enough to affect the export business. The Pacific Northwest handles about a quarter of all U.S. grain exports. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Next week, the University of Illinois will debut the Ag Masters Conference. Todd Gleason reports the details of this premier crop production and protection event.
The Ag Masters Conference is scheduled for the first and second day of December 2009. I'll be up on stage for the inaugural conference. As many of you know, this year's conference represents a significant transition from a rich history of crop sciences conferences conducted over a 60-year span. Now, those conferences included the Custom Spray Operators Training School, Illinois Agricultural Pesticides Conference, and the Crop Protection Technology Conference. In turn, each of them confirmed the commitment of the University of Illinois to agriculture. Now, the University of Illinois Extension Specialists, who are co-chairs of this brand new conference called the Ag Masters Program, want to take that land-grant legacy to new heights. It is particularly appropriate in 2009, I think, the 200th birthday of President Abraham Lincoln, signer of the Morrill Land Grant College Act in 1862, that U of I Extension begins a new journey with the Ag Masters Conference. The planners of this conference have strived to bring all the participants the latest and most timely information in the crop production and protection arenas by featuring noted speakers who are well-respected in their fields of scholarship. The first day of the program, that's Tuesday, December the 1st, Agmasters will utilize a general session format designed to capture everyone's interest and stimulate discussion. I'll host that program. And then on the second day, that's the advanced session, which will have a limited enrollment. We'll feature a classroom setting where they'll go over the latest scientific literature and specific biological and agricultural fields of study. Now, we know that some members of the agricultural community are increasingly demanding the most sophisticated information of high relevance that the university can offer. It is the intention of the planners to deliver on that request. Agriculture, as you know, is in the midst of a revolution. With the escalating use of transgenic crops, the heightened interest in crops used for biofuels, global warming, and its impact on crop production, and the relevance of IPM being increasingly questioned in large field crop settings. It is the hope of the planners of the Agmasters program that the information shared during the conference will enable those who attend to effectively embrace these new challenges while creating innovative solutions. The Agmasters program is scheduled for December the 1st and 2nd at the iHotel Conference Center, just south of the Assembly Hall in Champaign. For complete details and registration information, visit the Agmasters website. It's easiest to find by typing Agmasters, that's all one word, into the search engine Google. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with Cash Green Analysis is Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Delphi facility. Good afternoon, Matt.
Dave, how are we doing today?
We're doing fine, sir. Wonder how your ethanol prices are holding up.
You know, ethanol margins here in the last probably 2 to 3 weeks, going from the summer to present have steadily improved. In the last 2 to 3 weeks are the best we've seen since the ethanol boom really got going 2.5 to 3 years ago. Spot margins are in the middle of $1.50, and you know, you can argue maybe even a little stronger than that right now.
So a little bit of a premium in a market that generally, if you look at the corn market, it's pretty sloppy at the moment.
Right, you know, a lot of that margin has to come back in due to DDG prices. Even with issues with VOM, we're selling them at a higher percentage of corn value than we did over the summer here. Natural gas is still relatively cheap compared to ethanol futures and oil futures, and then also both oil and corn futures, excuse me, both oil and ethanol futures are still relatively strong compared to cheap corn.
You seeing in much vomitoxin?
We have. Starting Monday, we did start to test every load here. That's becoming a norm here in Indiana for most ethanol plants, and also starting to hear that even train shippers are starting to test every load, too, coming in. And right now we're not rejecting. We're just discounting over a threshold of 5. But we're starting to see vomitoxins and DDG start to get close to where they're rejectable parts per million.
I may be all wet about this because there weren't a lot of contracts registered for delivery in corn when I looked earlier today, but I kind of believe that you're going to see a lot of deliveries on Monday, and the kind of corn you're going to see delivered, number 3 corn.
Right. You know, I agree. I mean, there's just a lot of quality issues all around out there this harvest, and I think you're right. There's going to be guys that deliver at a discount here.
All right, then. What about beans right quick?
Beans here, premium are starting to get into our market here. With us being in a triangle of about three heavily, pretty large bean crushers, they got their knees met. They had actually some beans on the ground for a short period of time. Those are starting to be eaten up here, and Deese seems to be the area that we're starting to see basis appreciation. Deese is at least a nickel to 10 cents better than our no spot bid is right now.
Very quickly, your prices.
Yeah, here at Climbers, our cash price for the day is going to be $3.68, Delphi beans, $10.19.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Blaisdell, the Anderson's Climbers Delphi facility. I'll be back in 2 minutes with agricultural weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Unemployment has crept upward in Illinois' metropolitan areas, including Champaign-Urbana, Danville, and Decatur. The State Department of Employment Services says the October jobless rate in Champaign-Urbana and vicinity hit 8.6%, 0.3 of a point higher than September, and more than 2.5% higher than October of last year. The rate for the Danville area rose to 12.1%, with Decatur trucking in at 12.7%, third highest behind Rockford and Kankakee. The state says Champaign-Urbana lost about 1,800 jobs when compared to this time last year. A Savoy man was expected to make his first court appearance this afternoon in connection to a fatal crash that occurred Monday night on Interstate 74 in Champaign. State police arrested 27-year-old David McClain yesterday. He faces counts of reckless homicide and leaving the scene of an accident. The wreck claimed the life of 26-year-old Yingbo Zhu, a U of I student from China, and four others were injured. State police say McClain's SUV crashed into a car in which Zhu was a passenger and then sped away. According to court records, he had been arrested last month for driving with a suspended license. Police in the Chicago suburb of Addison are investigating the deaths of four people whose bodies were found inside a home. Police say a man, woman, and two boys were found dead shortly after 6:30 this morning by officers who had responded to a home after receiving a 911 call. Police aren't providing details or how the people died. Passenger traffic appears steady but not jam-packed at O'Hare International Airport on what's supposed to be one of the busiest days of the year. At least one shuttle service at the nation's second busiest airport says passenger traffic appears way down this Thanksgiving Eve compared to last year. The manager of Go Airport Express stood inside a kiosk in a baggage claim area with no customers this afternoon. Clancy Wright has worked at O'Hare for 9 years and says he's never seen it so slow around Thanksgiving. A car sharing program has expanded to the Urbana side of the U of I campus. Zipcar has added two vehicles at Goodwin and Illinois Streets, bringing a total of 10 that residents can rent by the hour or day. Morgan Johnson, transportation management coordinator at the U of I, says the community has really embraced the concept and that roughly half of its members are students. More information is online at zipcar.com/U Illinois. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
So is it true that we're going to see a white Thanksgiving across parts of the Corn Belt?
That's an interesting concept. Yeah, I think that's a possibility for some areas. I don't think that we want to get too excited about it, though. The surface temperatures are a little bit on the warm side. We might have some snow in the air, though. We might accumulate it on some grassy surfaces and whatnot. But as far as any kind of real significant snow accumulations, I don't think we're going to be faced with that in very many locations. But certainly there will be some snow around. Northern Illinois, Wisconsin, parts of eastern Iowa, some of the neighboring areas in eastern, extreme southeastern Minnesota, I guess, and Michigan will be the areas that would be most favored for a little bit of snowfall around. And for those of you who are planning on traveling, I don't think it's going to be bad enough to create any kind of serious problems for the majority of us out there. There may be a few periods of snow that might get a little heavy, but I still don't believe it's going to be a big problem for most of our roads out there. So it'll be kind of pretty where it occurs, and outside of that, it shouldn't be a major problem.
After this system pushes through, there is some suggestion from the American model that early next week we could have a significant dumping, but other models seem to be in a disagreement. What's the latest?
Yeah, the latest is that the significant snowstorm of the week next week would probably hold off until the latter part of the week, after Wednesday. The latest model run, which I have to be real honest with you, I don't necessarily buy into it, but the most recent model suggests that heavy snows would occur from Missouri and Iowa across northwestern Illinois into portions of Wisconsin and Minnesota. And this would occur during the second half of next week. There would be some substantial accumulations if this were to verify, and there would be some strong wind and probably cause considerable blowing and drifting of snow. But it's been my experience that you don't buy into these storms when they're a week away, and I don't think this one is any different. I think we'll probably see some increased storminess across the Midwest next week, and colder air will be coming into the nation at the same time. We will get a stronger storm system, but in this particular advertisement, I don't think we want to buy into. But I think the odds are probably favorable that we will see at least a more significant snow event at some point in the latter half of next week or in the following weekend.
Turning our attention to South America, both Brazil and Argentina seeing significant rainfall these days.
Yeah, Yeah, a little bit too much in some places. Portions of Uruguay and Rio Grande do Sul and southern Brazil have been seeing too much moisture. And, of course, this has been hurting the quality of winter wheat across those areas. Some of that harvesting has not been completed yet and probably is going to end up being completed as a feed grain primarily. I don't think there's going to be much quality left in this crop by the time it is allowed out of the field. It will rain almost daily across these areas until we get into Monday of next week, and then we'll see a drying bias pattern starting to set up in far southern Brazil and Uruguay. Even easternmost parts of Argentina will probably see a fairly high frequency of rainfall.
You have a thankful and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You do the same.
Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.